Social impact everywhere.
Hello, my fellow social impactors, and welcome to another episode of the Social Impactors Podcast. Today we have a very special guest, Karen Tischler, who is the researcher, or who is a researcher rather, at Damon International and founder of emiliespath.ca. And I'm really excited to get your perspective on mothers and, you know, building this community that we talked about before. But I want to first start with saying, you know, thank you so much for taking time to be on the podcast with me today.
Thank you so much, Avery, for having me. This is such an important and awesome podcast to share light on all the different social initiatives that people are doing. So I'm very appreciative that I can be on your podcast.
Yeah, and I'm glad to have you. I want to get to know you a little bit more. So the first question I'm going to ask is really about who you are, who Karen are, and it's your name, again, who you are, what you do, and why you believe you're a social impactor.
Okay, so I am the founder of emiliespath.ca, and basically Emily's Path is shining light on a very important but invisible part of the workforce. And I'm talking about well-educated and experienced professionals who are trying to return to work after a long period of absence, but at times are struggling to do so. And so, for example, we know from Statistics Canada, from 2015 data, that there is just under 500,000 parents that are staying at home. But as we, Sheryl Sandberg's book Lean In, she states that 43% of highly qualified women with children are leaving careers or off-ramping for a period of time, and only 74% of them will rejoin the workforce in any capacity, and 40% only will return to full-time jobs. So there are a lot of well-educated and qualified mothers in particular, but also dads who are currently outside of the workforce and they would like to go back to work. And that's the mission of Emily's Path, helping them to go back to work.
Wow. And so when you founded this, was that the initial mission that you had, or did it fold into something else? What was the beginning of Emily's Path?
What happened was that my own background is that I have a master's degree in economics from the University of Oxford in England. But after I worked as a management consultant, and I was the head of the competitive intelligence department at a corporate American organization, I stayed at home for more than 10 years. If I had not had the opportunity to work for P. Susan Jackson as the researcher at Damon International, I likely would be still in the situation, like the many mothers that I happened to be talking to last spring and summer. And so when I talked to these mothers, I realized how many well-qualified mothers are out there who are really trying to go back to work, but struggling because there aren't very many flexible or part-time jobs that are on a adequate job level based on the experience and the education that they have. So then I started to do research. And my background, as it is economics, I really enjoy research. So I did an international best practice research by interviewing and meeting in person many different people in Europe as well as North America. And I've learned that especially in Europe, there are governmentally funded initiatives by the European Social Fund as well as the Federal Department of Labor to help these parents go back to work. And in North America, there is Carol Fishman Cohen, who 10 years ago founded iRelaunch, and she has done a TED Talk and written a Harvard Business Review article about the 40-year-old internship. And basically, what she has created is returnships, which is a form of internships for older people returning back to work. And Currently, that does not exist yet in British Columbia, and that is something I really would like to initiate and start seeing to happen, that there are corporations who would like to talk and take women on maybe on a 6 weeks, a 12-week basis as a returner, and then it allows the mothers to see what it is like to work and, you know, maybe learn things like Slack, and it also gives an opportunity for the organization to really see what brilliant workers these returning parents are. And in the case of the returnships that Carol has organized, about 80% of the returners stay on full term after the returnship.
So what gave you this desire then to work with, you know, mothers trying to come back into the workforce? And I mean, you've highlighted that there's some challenges getting back into it, but also great solutions and people doing great things to make that transition easier. Why personally is that important to you?
Because of my own experience. And when you look at, for example, the labor market in British Columbia, so over the next 10 years, there will be each year 13,000 jobs that cannot be fulfilled either by having people migrate from different provinces or international immigration or new students coming in and, you know, filling the places of people who are retiring. And I just think to see such a wasted potential of these mothers and fathers who could really help shape the, the economy and Canada as a whole, it would be such a shame. So for example, there is the first female Supreme Court judge, Sandra Day O'Connor. She was actually staying at home for 5 years. So if she had not been given the opportunity to return back to work, that would have been, we would have definitely missed out. And yesterday I was at an international event where women from many different countries spoke about their background. And there is a Dutch lady who was part of the Horizon 2020 board of the European Commission, and she stayed out of the workforce for 10 years. So again, there are brilliant people. They were brilliant before, they're brilliant afterwards. It just, they need to be given a chance. And so I think that's really what it is about me. I feel that people need to be given another chance to demonstrate how, you know, they can contribute to the corporations, the economy, and the world as a whole.
I love that. That's awesome. So then let's jump into the second question, because this is about positive impact. And I want to know more about you. And it's, how are you making a positive impact in your community?
Okay, that's a great question. In order to prepare myself for the podcast and in general to have more data, because there is so little data available currently for stay-at-home parents, because truthfully, they're not really tracked in any form because they're not really listed as unemployed and they're not working either. So I did a quick survey monkey survey, and nearly 100 parents who are staying at home responded, and I got many additional comments thanking me for really highlighting that they exist. And then there were like just amazing comments, like where people are saying, I never thought I was going to stay at home for that long of a time, but circumstances led to it, and I would really like to return back to work. And out of my nearly 100 respondents, it was interesting, and it kind of confirms the data of Sheryl Sandberg, 60% have a bachelor, a master's, and a PhD. And then the other thing that was interesting to see is that many of them have stayed outside of the workforce for a much longer period of time than maybe people would typically anticipate. So it isn't only a problem sometimes that there is a childcare situation that it's either too expensive or not available, but what many women said, they would like to stay at home for the first few years of their child's life, and then they would like to go back to work. And one thing they are finding very challenging is to find, as I said before, flexible part-time work. That's what they would really like to go back to. And I feel by raising more awareness that they A, exist, and B, what they would like to go back to work, if I can then work together with Work BC or the BC government, that will hopefully make corporations also realize, yes, there is this great workforce that we would love to get in. And if we can start doing like co-sharing of positions that exist already in other countries, it would be wonderful. For example, the German software company SAP for the last 1 or 2 years has been, every time there is a management position that is available, they post it as a co-sharing management position to allow, for example, women to share that position and still have a adequate position based on their experience as well as education.
I love that. That's amazing. And I like that you bring up statistics too. It's a very under-recognized tool, especially in modern day, you know, modern times. And I think that's a great way to lead into the next question too. And it's actually more about the business side of things. And so the question is, do you believe social impact is an important part of business?
I definitely think it truly is. Because at the end of the day, if I'm going to spend my money to buy something and, or, you know, for a service or a product, if I know that that organization truly believes in helping people, in making a positive impact, I, you know, I'm much more likely to come back and, you know, continue with that, you know, buying products from that organization. Like I could give you a quick example. Like I had car trouble, and so BCAA came, and this gentleman spent literally 30 minutes trying to restart my battery, and he succeeded. And I was so thankful. I connected with the CEO of BCAA to share my appreciation of his organization. And I looked at BCAA's, you know, general mission, and they really are all about, you know, making sure that their employees are well taken care of. And so that really, really transcends then with the employees doing the same thing to the customers. So I really, truly believe in that.
So you talked about a company that's practicing that right now. What would it have been like if that situation didn't happen in the exact same way? Let's say the company was a little bit different. Do you think that company would be as successful? Like, let's say the scenario is they didn't help you, right? Or the scenario is you had a really bad time. Do you think that a social impact business does more, or is a better business? What's your viewpoint on that?
I think a social impact business is a business that will have customers who will be there for the long haul, that will truly believe in them. So I feel that if you want to have loyal customers, you will definitely, you know, get them more if you are a social impact business. Yes.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. It's, I find impact businesses, the lifespan or the life cycle of a customer is always longer, but it's also more appreciated, right? You have a lot more success in business. They almost always do better.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. So last question. And the last question I have for you is, what is your advice for others to begin making their own impact in the world or in their communities? What's that advice?
Okay, that's, I think everybody has something they are really passionate about. Sometimes they might not know this initially. In my case, it probably was dormant for a very long time, and it just happened to be that I was starting to talk with a lot of mothers in a short period of time who really felt they wanted to go back and were struggling to do so. And I know them, they're brilliant. And it just made me feel so passionate about helping them. And I truthfully never thought that I would be an entrepreneur, that I would be running my own organization. But I think if one has a passionate goal, it will make it possible. And I think the other thing is also important to realize: in the beginning, it will take time. And I was very appreciative talking to the best practice leaders in my field who said it will take time. The key truly is to raise awareness, be in the media, go to events, and you know, gradually it will grow. And that's what I'm experiencing. And so I think patience is definitely the key, and not to give up. And there might be, you know, a day where something doesn't go as well as one might think, but one should really keep the eye on the long term, what the overall mission is to, in my case, so a change societal behavior towards parents who are staying at home. And that can be, in my mind, done by, like, you know, when you look at in Sweden, you have lots of dads. Why do you have young dads sitting in a Starbucks? And this is a, you know, accepted norm there. One of the things is that it has been for a very long time the parental leave in Sweden, but also dads get 3 months to choose it or leave it. So basically, if they don't take these 3 months dedicated to them rather than to the mother, then they will just lose it. And so that's really been a big change. And I really hope to see something like this in the future in British Columbia and in Canada as a whole and worldwide.
I really liked what you said about passion. I think that when someone's passion is aligned and they're really out to, you know, make that passion a reality, nothing's impossible. You just got to have that dedication to continue that passion. And when you do, the whole world opens up.
I fully agree. Yeah.
Amazing. So Karen, that's all the questions I have for today, but I really wanted to end with saying, you know, thank you so much. Thank you for being on the podcast. Thank you for being a symbol for, you know, mothers out there who might have struggles getting back in the workforce, but really showing that there's an incredible resource out there for mothers too, and that anyone can do that, right? Anyone can do that, and no one's skills end when they end a job, right? They always have those skills afterwards.
Right. That's, you know, the idea: when you were brilliant in your workforce prior to leaving, you will be still brilliant. And people have the image of you when you were doing amazing things at work. It's sometimes lack of self-confidence that creeps in and the lack of network. But if the women remember how, you know, the examples of them being brilliant before, I think that really helps. And having a community of like-minded people going through the same struggle or challenges to go back, I believe really helps.
So, keep being a shining symbol for other women out there.
Thank you so much, Avery. I really appreciated being on your podcast.